Boy, if I wanted to make sure that Easter has just happened, all I have to do is count how many people are here. Everybody's like, ah, okay, resurrection happened, I'm good. Seems like a long time ago, though, doesn't it? It does. I was thinking that we had an event on Wednesday at Acacia Park to commemorate the assassination of Martin Luther King. Don't let your silence speak. It was a good rally. There were a lot of people there. Should have been more. Could have been more. But I have to say, there were four UCC churches that were represented, and there were six people from this church there. So that's pretty good. I think proportionately, we probably scored pretty high. But it seems like a lot has happened since Easter, doesn't it? So I guess I should talk about this reading. Poor Tom. Did you all take a look at the cover this morning? There was another one that was a little less appropriate. I'm going to tell you what it said. Most of what it said. There's a picture of Thomas standing talking to the disciples. Jesus is right behind him. And he's like, oh, don't tell me this BS. I don't believe it. I won't believe it until I see. So don't hand this to me. He's right behind me, isn't he? Aaron will put that up on Facebook, but I think maybe for the bulletin it wasn't quite appropriate. But poor Tom, right? I mean, what's the deal? What's going on here? You read the sermon title, right? We're talking about the courageous acts of Thomas. But from the scripture reading, it certainly doesn't sound like we're talking about courage, does it? All right, who wants to tackle this? Because really, it's just a review. So brave.
Is it possible that Thomas was courageous because he spoke up when everyone...
Is that on?
No, but I talk loud.
No, that's okay. Aaron's busy back there.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's okay.
Go ahead. It's on.
Because he went ahead and spoke instead of worrying about what other people would think.
So he wasn't so concerned about what other people were saying, so he spoke up.
He just wanted to know, yeah.
Okay. What are you, a teacher? There are no dumb questions? Is that what you're trying to tell us? Who else? Who else wants to take a shot at what's going on here? Okay, the sermon's on courage, so with your hands down, it doesn't bode well for you. Okay.
I just think it's very courageous to question the status quo.
You do you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell that to your pastor? Question authority? Is that what you're saying? That would make a good bumper sticker. Anybody else? Are you going to be punny?
Would I ever be? Well, he probably was from Missouri.
Why was he from Missouri, Mel?
Because many, many people don't believe in anything they cannot see. That has always been the case, I think. Can you see the wind? Et cetera.
I feel a little let down that there was no joke in there.
I can work on that.
Work on that. But you're right, we don't see the wind, but we see the results of it, right, sometimes? Anybody else? Let's do some clarification, because there's some stuff in here that can really lead us astray. There are apostles, the disciples are hiding, and they're hiding from the Jews. Now, that's problematic. Why is that problematic? Who said yes? Deborah? No. Come on. If I'm going to walk all the way down here.
Just blaming a whole group for the action of a few that were in a very bad position with the Romans over them. So it's really the council, the Pharisees.
So we have to be clear that this is not supposed to be an anti-Semitic remark right off the bat, okay? And I will always touch on that no matter how many times we hear it, because we read that and time again we blame the quote-unquote Jews for the crucifixion of Jesus. And that has led to some pretty horrible things, historically speaking. Okay? Why else is Thomas courageous? What is different? Think Sesame Street, one of these things is not like the others. What is different about him in this story from the others? He wasn't there. Where was he? Oh, what? Not in hiding. Okay, so the others are in hiding. Why are they in hiding? Because things did not turn out the way they expected, did they? And they really assumed that because of that, they were at risk. Well, what was Tom thinking? Where was he? I don't know. Was he? I don't believe you.
Would the others have believed if they had not seen him? They would have been just like Thomas.
Oh, so if the others had not seen, would they have believed? So we give Thomas a bad rap, but it's only because he wasn't there, because he wasn't afraid to begin with, or his fear did not keep him from going and doing something. Now, you can imagine the emotional upheaval that his friends must have been feeling, that Jesus' friends must have been feeling, right? To be able to just sort of figure out how to wrap their heads around the fact that their best friend has been executed. Worse than that, this best friend was supposed to be a savior, was supposed to be some renegade messiah who was going to muster the troops and really bring them to some sort of freedom, to some sort of justice. And instead, he is arrested and executed. So they're tucked away, legitimately afraid, because it wasn't uncommon that these rogue individuals who were deemed heretical by Rome, that their followers would also be executed in order to keep everybody else quiet. But Thomas isn't there. Here's the other thing that happens. The other thing that happens is, not only do they get first billing to Jesus, so the disciples who are in the room, and the question is asked, well, it looks like they believe, but that's only because they got to see first. Where are they when Thomas returns? Still in the room. So seeing Jesus didn't even make it better, did it? Seeing him was just a bragging point, but it didn't get them to unlock the doors. They were still terrified. But when Thomas walks in, it's like, nah, 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 guess what we saw? And Thomas says, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. What's so wrong about saying that? How many of you, in the journey of your own spiritual faith, however it is you want to describe that, have at some point or another said, I don't buy it? Who said never? I'm coming for you. I don't believe you. How many of you, most of the time, if you were in a place other than this, would have shared that with those whom you hung out? So a small group of you would have said, yep. Now, if I were to ask those of you who stayed silent in your previous worship capacities, what you think about those who didn't stay silent, what would you say about them? They're courageous. Well, how come they're courageous, but Thomas wasn't? How come we lay blame on Thomas for being a doubter and shame on him, and yet we can today look at folks who ask questions and say, wow, that takes guts. you have an answer?
Yeah.
What is it?
Because
that's the way we've always done it. That we should shut up and believe. How's that working for us? And what undergirds that? What keeps us from saying, I'm not going to do that anymore? Fear. Fear of what? Being different. Fear that your doubts are what's true? Holy crap, that's going to be big. Did I say that out loud? Sorry. We're going to come back to that. Fear of rejection. What else was being said? How about eternal damnation? How many of us still carry this sense that if I question God, I will in somehow appear to be less than or not loved as much, or that I am risking something that I can't even touch? Anybody still afraid of that? Deborah? The last one.
Whoa.
Hold. Back up the bus. Go ahead.
So I'm
apologies. Go ahead.
I'm sometimes afraid that with other people, I will be targeted for that thought. But I'm not afraid that God is going to target me for that thought.
Okay. How many of you are afraid that God is going to target you for that thought? A little bit. It's okay to admit it. Huh. Such the conundrum. Yes.
We are taught to doubt without seeing things. That's part of society, part of our culture.
And how
we don't see it, we're not sure we believe it, or we know we don't believe it.
If we don't see it, we're not sure if we believe it. So we either have to see it or create a doctrine or a dogma that says it's true, and then we believe the doctrine and the dogma, right? Unless you're a scientist. We're fortunate if we're taught to doubt, aren't we? How many of you like certainty? How many of you can find it? How many of you been offered certainty and found it to be unsatisfactory? So the same group that wants it doesn't like it when it's there? Go ahead. What does ring true then? Doubt?
Maybe more than
certainty?
Yeah, people who think with certainty that they know what happens after.
So if someone were to present certitude, that would ring untrue because they think they know what's going to happen next. You're saying that that does not. But would you like to know what happens next?
Not today, not tomorrow.
I promise you that eventually you will. That is a promise I can make to you. The definition of courage is a choice or a willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, or tumult, intimidation. And we know what physical courage can look like, right? It's being brave in the face of pain and hardship, but what we're really talking about is sort of that internalized moral bravery, the ability to act justly in the face of popular opposition. Who wants to do that? Who wants to feel ashamed in front of their peers or be caught in a scandal because they didn't agree with something that everybody else agreed with? Thomas demonstrated incredible courage because not only was he walking about, probably in a state of complete confusion, who knows, maybe he was in shock, maybe he was too much in shock to even think he should be afraid. Maybe he was so disillusioned that he didn't care if he got arrested or executed, because by then maybe he didn't know what it was to expect next. Maybe he was just hungry and decided to go shopping. Or maybe he missed his family and thought, I need to see my family. Or maybe they locked him out to play a joke. I mean, we really don't know why he was out and about in this story. And ironically, while he is the one that is given so much grief for not being there, he is the one that once he has this vision, gets it. Even the disciples who had been there before, if they hadn't seen, I think we can answer Mel's question. They still wouldn't have believed, because when they did, they were still terrified and didn't go out. But Thomas shows up, gets to see Jesus, and immediately says, my Lord and my God. And in that instant, he says all of those things that the others were too afraid to do. In that instant, he sees Jesus differently than they saw Jesus. He could have been out seeking. What now? What happened? What do we do? Where do we go? How do we trust? Who do we trust? And his questioning brought him right back to Jesus, didn't it? His questioning brought him right back. And because he could question, he actually saw a vision that the others, I'm not convinced that they saw right away. The only definitive answer he got was that he was on the right track. His courage to ask and seek brought him to the conclusions that even though that things didn't work out the way all of them had hoped, something was still on the horizon. When I went to these bookends, Holy Week and Easter Week, these bookends of rallies and marches, these bookends that began with a march against or for gun control because we've had this tragedy once again where so many of our children were killed. And then again during Easter Week. Now, how profound is it that these two things are happening now? This remembrance of the death of a legacy of a person who would demand justice for his people. What really came out was, wow, we're still doing this. This is exhausting. We're showing up for another march and another rally. When is it going to stop? And I think that the disciples who were locked in the room were probably thinking, enough already. Come on. We need a change. Whereas Thomas was out and about going, okay, now what? What do we do? I'm just as confused, but I'm going to be proactive. Because my Lord and my God, there's something else happening here. He probably was further emboldened by this encounter, and he probably went out to plan some rallies and marches. Reverend Dawn Hutchins, who's a UCC pastor, she's a Methodist minister, offers this story. And she says, there's a story about a pre-civil rights African-American community in Florida. The story says that during times of political elections, this community would rent a voting machine and go through the voting process. Now, they knew that their votes would not be counted, but they voted anyway. When white people used to ask them why they did this every year, when they knew that their votes wouldn't be counted, they would answer that, well, we're practicing so that we're ready for when that day comes. Believing in what not yet seen means, we practice or behave as if it already exists. The disciples did not believe because it wasn't what they had expected. And Thomas, upon seeing, believed it all. It hasn't happened yet, but I get where we're going. Martin Luther King said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. That quote answered my question about the march, about the rally. Every time we take a step towards what could be, every time we allow ourselves to see a piece of the vision and to ask the question, I wonder what comes next. Oh, I'm not sure if this is going to work, but I'm going to keep walking in that direction. Every time we do that, we get closer to whatever that vision is that our God has for our world. And we have the choice to lock ourselves in a room and believe what we have seen or what we've heard and be okay with that, but be locked in that room. Or we can go out saying, oh my goodness, now what? Now what do I do? What's going to happen next? I have no idea, but I'm going to keep looking and I'm going to keep asking. That is what Thomas offers us. He literally offers us a way out of that room. He literally is that role model that says, wishing and hoping and believing is not enough. I have to go out and I have to seek. And I have to demand, and I have to question, and I have to wonder, and I have to be frustrated, and I have to fall down, and I have to get up, and I don't care if I'm embarrassed in front of my friends, because there's something bigger at work here that is demanding my attention, and even if I don't get it, I'm still going to look for it. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Belief in something you can't see requires vision, the ability to see beyond what is and then to act as if it is so. This is why we continue to show up for rallies and marches. Heck, it's why we continue to show up here on Sundays. We continue to show up not just for what is, but for the promise of what can be. And if we have that promise without knowing anything else, then I promise you, you know what faith is. Let the people say, amen.